We're continuing our exposition of the Westminster Confession of Faith. We've reached chapter 9 and sections 4 and 5. When God converts a sinner and translates him into the state of grace, he freeth him from his natural bondage under sin, and by his grace alone enables him freely to will and to do that which is spiritually good. Yet so, as that by reason of his remaining corruption, he doth not perfectly, nor only will that which is good, but doth also will that which is evil. The will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of glory only. Now this chapter, as we have seen these past few Sunday mornings, takes us successively through various states. It traces the working of man's will successively, first in his state of original innocence, where his will was free to please God, but not immutably, that is, unchangeably. Secondly, as we saw last time, in his state of fallenness, where man's will, as we read, lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation. And this morning we're going to look thirdly, that in man's state of grace, whereby God's grace alone he is enabled freely to will and do what is spiritually good, but not immutably, that is unchangeably. And then finally and fourthly, in his state of glory, where man's will is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone. Four successive phases or stages or states in which man's will comes to different expressions. Well, in section 4 of chapter 9, the confession highlights what happens to our wills, you'll notice, when God converts a sinner and translates him into a state of grace. And just as sin has penetrated and corrupted every part of our lives, so God's saving grace does likewise, enabling us, as we read, freely to will and to do what is spiritually good. The underlying truth here is that the moral condition of the heart, the new nature, is what determines the act of our wills. And it is the gospel of God's grace through our union with Jesus Christ that transforms the moral condition of our hearts. As Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 1, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Or as he says in Romans chapter 6, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness, so that we now will to do what is pleasing to God." The moral condition of our hearts shaping the intention of our wills. However, because sin continues to be present in us, though its guilt has been removed and its power forever broken, because sin still remains in us, we do not perfectly only will that which is good, but doth also will that which is evil. And the confession highlights Romans chapter 7 in this regard. "What I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep doing." The internal contradiction that belongs natively to the child of God, even in the state of grace. The gospel has not yet freed us from sin's corrupting presence, and because of remaining corruption or indwelling sin, we yet will, contrary to our truest selves and contrary to God's revealed and holy will. In other words, our wills are free, but because our new natures are yet infected by sin, we never wholly will all that is pleasing to God. This is why, even in a state of grace, we have constant cause for humility before God and for daily confession of sin. And it's this reality that accounts for the Christian's present life as one of inward conflict, inevitable inward conflict. And it's this reality that summons us to the spiritual grace of mortification, that is, putting to death what is yet earthly in us. So in a state of grace, our wills are free, but because our natures are not yet holy and perfectly renewed, indwelling sin provokes this internal conflict, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. But then in the last section of chapter 9, the confession takes us from the present state of grace to the ultimate and consummate state of glory, where we read, "The will of man is made perfectly and immutably," that is, unchangeably free, "to do good alone." When God ultimately brings us into his nearer presence, he brings us to the spirits of just men made perfect, and he brings us and presents us faultless before his glorious presence. And there in glory, our God will eradicate all remaining indwelling corruptions and finally conform us fully and perfectly to the likeness of his dear Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The difference between this state of glory and Adam's original state of innocence is that here in the state of glory, our perfection is immutable, unchangeable. Our wills will be perfectly and unchangeably one with our God's. Glorified men and women will be perfectly holy, and notice this, immutably stable. We will never fall away because our righteousness is found in Jesus Christ, the one who can never fail and who can never fall. We will never sin again, never stray from our God, and because being finally and fully conformed to our Saviour, we will be able to say with him, "I delight always to do your will, O God." And the delight that we have to do it will be matched by the ability that we have in Christ to perform it. Here we know the conflict and the tension of indwelling sin, but in the state of glory, that tension will be forever removed. We will be immutably stable, and in Jesus Christ, ever will what is pleasing to God and ever do what is pleasing to God. Let us pray. Father, we come to confess before you how inconstant our wills are. We often cry out that we delight and desire to do your will, and yet so often we confess, Lord, that our desires are not matched by our ability to perform that will. The good that we would, we do not. The evil that we would not, That is what we do. Forgive us, Father. Give us daily grace to put to death what is earthly in us, and hasten the day when we shall be immutably stable in your presence, and ever delight to do your will, and find in our union with Jesus Christ the ability and the power so to do. We thank you that we have a great Saviour. And we thank you, Father, for your present grace and mercy towards us in him. Bless us through the rest of this day. May our Lord Jesus be praised in all the earth. And we ask it in his name. Amen.